Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. This is All About Wine, a talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting
expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. Yeah. I love that.
I agree.
Post questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine
is on.
Here's Ron.
That's what it is.
Yay!
All right, settle down, folks.
Yeah, really.
Sit on.
It's getting a little bit cooler out there, and so they're really happy and froggy. So.
Yeah, we're bracing up. I've got the coats and gloves ready to go.
Yeah,
going to be in the 70s. Oh,
yeah. Digging out the woolly socks too. I mean, yeah. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Really handy.
But
let's turn on that here. There we go.
This weekend is supposed to be Sunday, mm-hmm. The front's supposed to go through and drop us down to the mornings here. They're saying we could get mornings here just north of us into the upper 50s. Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
I know.
Hope they have firewood and all that good stuff.
Got everything stacked up for this cold snap. Mm-hmm. But then by Tuesday, it's supposed to be up to 90 again. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Really?
You golf in the cold, don't you?
Some people golf in the snow up north. I don't think I can do that. Number one, you couldn't find your ball, but it's just too cold. You bundle up and everything. You can't swing right and all that. But yeah, I've golfed when it's been in the 50s. And
wow.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit too cold. I don't like it. It's not as enjoyable. I'd rather be warm than I would cold, especially when it's out there playing golf. So, and I'm sure there's other people out there who disagree with me vehemently, but still, though, I would rather have it a little bit warmer than cold. It's supposed to get our first winter cold fronts moving through this Sunday morning, I think, or Sunday night, was supposed to be cooler and all that. So that's something for us to look forward to.
Yeah,
and the days are getting shorter. They just said on TV that the sunsets at 7:01 tonight are set at 7:01 since it is now 7:03. And sunsets at 7:01 tonight. That's the last time it sets after 7 o'clock until March the
25th. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have a thing on TV. The weather girls were talking about it. And number of hours of daylight is going to be dropping down until the winter solstice, which is only like 2 months away. But then the days start getting a little bit longer each day. So. But we were talking about, you know, new Windows 11. And Mike's hooking up to Windows 11 as soon as he gets a chance. And I don't know. If they offered, I might attempt it, but I'll let you do it first and you'll see what you think of it.
Well, check your system first because it's very particular. And I didn't realize it was, there's a utility. Check my, I don't know, it's on Microsoft's website. Can we say Microsoft? It's not like NFL, right? Okay, good.
No, it's not. No, it's not like saying Super Bowl or anything. We can't say Microsoft. Yeah. Oh my God, did I? I have to go back in and delete that now.
There you go. Oh, that was the wrong beat.
I didn't know that. They're not compatible with everything.
Huh? Yes, it's going to be very, very fun. There are some requirements, but check it out. There's a utility on the Microsoft site that will check the hardware. And actually, I think if you went into your settings and Windows Update, and there's a little blurb about Windows 11, then it should there should be a link there. But you can look on the website, download it, and it'll say, I don't think so. Or it'll say, hey, good day.
Yeah, congratulations. You have now downloaded Windows 11. Or when or it could say, attempting to download, and it ties up your computer for 24 hours, and it says, oh, sorry, you're not compatible.
When I wake up, when I wake up in the morning, it'll be all there. No, it won't.
No, it's still a little, waiting, loading, keeps on saying loading.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Welcome to All About Wine.
Mm-hmm.
Got some odds and ends to talk about tonight, and just some things that we've had a couple of guests last 2 weeks, and both of them are very enjoyable. I've mm-hmm. learned a lot from the guests, and so it's been some fun guests, and we got one, I think, coming up in 3 weeks, the 4th. Of November. I'm looking at the wrong map here, the wrong calendar here. October. Oh, there you go. Okay. I was looking at September, and I'm saying nothing's right here. That's why nothing was right, because I was looking at the wrong month. October is this month. So then in 3 weeks, we have a guest. And so we'll find out more about that when he comes on, or as we get closer. But,
Hopefully before then.
Yeah, before he comes on, yeah.
Hello, yeah. What do you do?
And who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you here with us?
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll know before then.
Right.
Well, I was reading while I was talking, and so that was it. I was looking at stuff here. Looking at all the stuff that's going on this month and everything else. This is Virginia Wine Month, Texas Wine Month, and Pennsylvania Wine Month, October. And let's see, today is the 14th, so it is Prokopak Day, which Prokopak is the name of a grape. And I don't know here. Let me see if I can find my grape description. Wine grape varieties. There we go. And then let's look for Prokopak. And see what that has to say about it. Prokopak. There we go. All right. Prokopak is grown mainly in Serbia. 85% of the grape is of the plantings is in Serbia, with the other 15% in the Macedonian Republic. So it's not like it's all over the place. Prokopak is a red wine grape variety indigenous to the former Yugoslavia. Today, the variety is found in large quantities in the former Yugoslavian states of Serbia, Kosovo, and north Macedonia, although it remains largely unknown outside of these countries, which is true because I've never heard of it. It's well suited to the terror of its cold climate homeland, and it can withstand temperatures to minus 18 Celsius or minus 4 degrees Celsius, Fahrenheit. It has resistance to botrytis and commonly used to produce rosé wines and in blends. So there you go. Today is the actual Procopac, Prokupac, Procopac Day. And it goes great with Serbian-style crumbed pork, lentil dal, or braised rabbit with carrots. I think that's cooked rabbit, not just having a rabbit in the yard with a carrot. And let's see, the prices, the most expensive is $20. The cheapest, a couple of them here at $8. So Prokopac, you probably will never see one unless you're traveling to Serbia. And then you'll find them there. And if you've ever had one, you know, send me an email. Let me know what it's like. I've never heard of the grape. But today is Prokopac Day. And let's see what else we got coming. National Red Wine Day is tomorrow, the 15th. And then the third Friday in October, which is tomorrow, is National Champagne Day, or the 23rd, or the 16th. You know, and I say that because when I was doing research trying to find all these holidays, wine-associated holidays, they had three different dates for National Champagne Day. So it could be any of those. Starting on Sunday is Drink Local Wine Week. So that's always a good thing. Get your local wineries and Drink Local Wine Week starts on Sunday, the, what's that, 17th? 14th, 15th, 16th, today's 14th, 15th, 17th, yeah. 17th will be the start of Drink Local Wine Week. So, there you go. I've been faltering on telling you what's coming up on these wine holidays, but now you're caught up. Prokopac Day, Prokopac. Mm. There's actually a day for the Prokopac grape. That's amazing, since it's only known in that one area, and they actually have a day designated for that. Rather odd. Okay, what else? Oh, I received the postcard in the mail because of the winery, and it's actually address of the winery. I still get a few things fluttering in here. But this was interesting. This is the postcard says, "Are you dog friendly?" And we were, actually. The winery was dog friendly. And this is said Cork Hounds, Corkhounds. Cork Hounds. Cork Hounds is a nationwide search engine that helps dog owners find dog friendly vineyards, wineries, meaderies, and breweries. We can help you reach more dog owners who want to visit your business with their dogs. But Cork Hounds, and the reason I'm telling you this, I know you all don't have wineries or vineyards or meaderies or breweries, but you may have a dog. And if you do have a dog, check out Cork Hounds, the Facebook page, Cork Hounds, or the corkhounds.com. Any of those would work. And you can get a hold of Cork Hounds and see what they're all about. And if you've got a dog you want to take some places, you'll find out who is dog-friendly and who isn't dog-friendly. So, and if you are a winery or a vineyard or a meadery or a brewery, you can go to corkhounds.com/register and put your information on there. You can tell if you're dog friendly outdoors, on the porch or patio, inside the tasting room. And you can also note any exceptions that you might have. and just give all of your business information, contact information, hours of operation, and Cork County will add it to their list. So if you visit a local winery or vineyard or meadery or brewery and they are dog friendly, then let them know about Cork County so that they can get their name on the list. So I didn't know about that. I wish I had known about it when we had the winery, because we were friendly, dog friendly, and we used to have events there and all sorts of stuff, and have dogs come in. We'd have our animals. We were pet friendly, and so it would have been nice to have something like that. Gallo is uncorking a new luxury wine collection, and this came out almost 3 weeks ago. But E&J Gallo Winery's Luxury Wine Group, in collaboration with winemaker Randall Graham, released a collection of wine called The Language of Yes. You heard me. The Language of Yes. The wines are inspired by the history of the winemaking in the south of France, but it has a clearly California point of view, made exclusively from California grapes grown in the Central Coast AVA, which is Paso Robles. I believe it would be Monterey, Paso Robles, and up and down that area there. That, I believe that would be classified as the Central Coast AVA. And they're making it in a grown variety style. So it's a little bit different approach. The Language of Yes blends Randall's, who's the winemaker, Randall's winemaking, or wine growing and creative acumen with Gallo's distinguished Central Coast vineyards and grape growers. So they are gearing up big time for it. Graham and Gallo will release three wines this year. The first was introduced in August, and it's a pink wine made from Tiburon and Cinsault. In October, Grenache and a Syrah from the Rancho Real, are also known as the Murmur Vineyard, will be released. And the initial offering is limited and is available online through the Language of Yes mailing list at languageofyeswine.com. So if you want to become part of it, languageofyeswine.com, and that's get on their mailing list and you can purchase it. The pink wine sells for $30, and the Grenache and Syrah will each sell for $40. It's, again, Gallo, but premium wines, luxury. They're not calling them premium, they're calling them luxury wine. The wine is for people who want to go deeper, they are saying. It is, company has also begun building a new state-of-the-art production facility and distribution center in Chester County to support future wine business. And so Gallo's really putting some money into it. It's a $423 million investment. It will end up creating 496 new jobs over the next 8 years. And so, and this isn't in California. This Chester County, I think, where is it? Yes, here we are, in South Carolina. It's sort of start meeting East Coast customers, they're saying. And so the overall carbon footprint will be very low. It's going to be a very green facility, and they're going to do what they can to try to keep it that way. First phase of the project is scheduled to be completed in October 2022, which is a year from now. So they're already on top of it, as far as I know. But the Language of Yes wine.com is the mailing list, and that's only way you can order these wines is through that. Okay, now I Let me find it here. Let me get out of that. Oh, here we go. We don't want this one. We want... oh, I lost the page on one. Where is it? Here, I think this is it. Yes, it is. Okay, got some wineries to tell you about and stuff that's happening on some wineries coming up here. Whispering Oaks is giving a concert, I think, today. Is it today? Yeah, you missed it. Sorry. Two spectacular concert events this month. One of them is today, and it started at 6 o'clock, so we all missed it. Next one's October the 30th, and that's at 6 o'clock. Crystal Shawanda is the musician. She's a Canadian Grammy winner, the Juno Award, Canadian Grammy winner, and multi-award winning blues artist. So she will be at the Whispering Oaks Winery coming up on October the 30th, 6 o'clock, doesn't say. Oh, it's going to have an opening by Billboard Blues charting artist Alex Lopez and his band The Express. So I don't know. It doesn't say a price here, so I don't know how much it costs, but you can get a hold of the winery, 352-748-0449. And they're located west of Ocala here in Florida. So if you happen to be down here or you're coming down or something, that's a great concert coming up. They also have live music almost all the time, too. It's just amazing. They got people in there constantly. Coming up on... tomorrow, they have Nicole Equimi. Saturday, tomorrow is from 6 to 9. Saturday from 1 to 4, John Carter. Saturday from 6 to 9, Del Stumbo. And Sunday from 1 to 4, Richie Q. So a bunch of artists coming in there. And then Friday and Saturday evening from 5 to 8, they have their steak night. And I've told you about that before. Your choices are ribeye, beef fillet, surf and turf, chicken or fresh fish, baked potato, salad, soup, veggie, and baked beans, and freshly baked bread. $32 a person. Again, get a hold of the winery. It's the phone number I just gave you. Or you can go to www.winesofflorida.com. And that's Whispering Oaks. Oxford, Florida is actually their address. I keep saying west of Gainesville, which is really where they are, but Oxford is the address of the winery there. Castle Ridge, one of our old friends up in Iowa. Castle Ridge has wine tasting by reservations only, but beginning October 1st, they are seated wine tastings by reservation. So first of the month, like I said, I haven't read you this stuff in a while. First of the month, they started this. Seated tastings include your choice of one of five tasting flights, freshly baked bread, Frisian Farms Young Gouda, and Castle Ridge dipping oil. Oh, my gosh, what a $15. Which you go to California and you're going to taste probably three or four wines, and it's going to cost you $15. And you don't get anything with it. This one, you're getting some fresh baked bread and Gouda cheese and dipping oils and five different wines. What a deal. So if you are up in that area, this is southeast of Des Moines, Iowa. It is, there's a racetrack up there. I can't think of the name of it. It's southeast of Pella, Iowa. And there's some racetrack. I can't think of the name of the racetrack right around Castle Ridge in that area. Oskaloosa is not too far from there. So if you're familiar with any of those towns in Iowa, Tassel Ridge is between Pella and Oskaloosa. Open Monday through Friday, 9-6, Saturday, 10-6, Sunday, 12-6. Lighton is their actual address, and you can get a hold of them at tasselridge.com, T-A-S-S-E-L, ridge.com, or go to info@tasselridge.com. But doing more and more tastings. What's that? No, I thought you were saying something to me, Mike.
No.
Oh, okay. I guess there's just noises.
I'm looking up raceways, though. I think I know what you're talking about. It's the Greater Des Moines Soapbox Derby Track. Yeah.
Is that it?
No. Okay.
No. I didn't think it was. Eddyville. Look in Eddyville. I think the racetrack is in Eddyville. Eddyville, Iowa. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is it the Eddyville Raceway Park?
That's it. Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. They have races there. Drag
racing. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So it's not the soapbox one. Okay.
No, not the soapbox one. I think the national soapbox is over in Indianapolis every year. So that's where the national soapbox is. I know because my father took the whole family for a vacation 1 year over to see it. And he had an old Army buddy, and we stayed there and went and saw the soapbox. So championships, which was sort of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Tassel Ridge. I think Tassel Ridge has got something else here that's coming up, too. Let me see. Nope, it doesn't. Food and wine. Let's see. Food and wine, the best thing you'll... Nope, that's not it. I guess that was only Tassel Ridge that was there. Oh, here's another Tassel Ridge. I knew there was another Tassel Ridge. Wine and Wood Fired Pizza Night. It's tonight. Oh, no, it's tomorrow night. The 15th, October 15th, which is tomorrow night. I keep on thinking today's the 15th. Friday night, Tassel Ridge has their pizza served from 5 to 8:30. Wood Fired Oven Pizza. That, you know, I'm going to have to go up there again and visit and have myself a wood fired oven pizza. All sorts of different types of pizzas you can get and everything. You can get yourself salads and all sorts of good stuff. And, of course, enjoy their wines. So tomorrow night they're having their wood-fired oven pizza night for the first time in, I think, a couple years because of COVID. So if you are in Iowa, join them tomorrow. Barrelhead Farms. Wilcox Wine Festival is this weekend. If you are in Arizona, southern Arizona, actually, I don't think they're holding this in the north. I think this is just in the south. Yeah. Wilcox Wine Festival is this weekend. Saturday from 11 to 5. Sunday from 11 to 5. The Saturday Festival, $35 per person, pre-sale. Each ticket includes a commemorative wine glass and 10 tasting tickets. Sunday, 11 to 5, 30 per person, and 35 at the gate. So you save yourself $5 if you go Sunday instead of Saturday. And that also includes a commemorative wine glass and 10 tasting tickets. Featuring 16 of Arizona's best wineries with over 30 non-winery vendors, including fine arts, artisan foods, vintage vendors, nonstop entertainment, along with two food trucks. So there's plenty to do. The wineries, Aridus Wine Company, Birds and Barrels Vineyards, Bodega Pierce, Carlson Creek Vineyards, Coronado Vineyards, Golden Rule Vineyards, Keeley Schaefer Vineyards, Pillsbury Wine Company, 1764 Vineyards, Barrel Head Farms Winery, Copper Horse Vineyard, Strive Vineyard, Page Spring Cellars, and Arizona Stronghold. So there's the whole stack of wineries. I think these are all from southern, in fact, I'm almost positive these are all from southern Arizona. You can get tickets at https://wilcox_fall_2021.eventbrite.com. So that's quite a, but that'll save you $5 if you go to it and do it. So that's coming up this weekend, the Wilcox Wine Festival. I first told you about that a couple months ago, I think, that they were getting ready for that. And let's see, do we have any other wineries here on this? I thought I had one more. And no, that was a Double Tassel Ridge, so that wasn't that. And okay. So, check out your local wineries. If you can't make it to any of these I'm promoting here, check out your local wineries. Try to make it to them. Support them. They can use your support. It's getting tough to get back on your feet out there now. And I mean, wow, really. Still tough to try to do anything. And so get out there and support your local wineries and local breweries and local meaderies and all that as much as you can. Okay, a few things to tell you about here tonight. And, well, I've already told you about it. I've got some more things to tell you about. Let's see. This is interesting. I won't go through all this in depth here. But this is an article about the quality of wine hinges on the caliber of its raw materials. You know that. You got to have yourself great quality grapes. And from that, you start making a great wine. But another thing that is very important is wine barrels. If they're going to age these things in oak, then you want something that is from a good tree. Low-quality barrels make bad wood, hence makes bad wine from inferior trees. So the best trees, the act of selecting good trees to make your barrels is an art in itself. You got to know how the trees are going to turn out when you start making barrels. And there are people out there who are very good. A lot of these cooperages have people that go out and select their trees, the forest that they're going to use and stuff like that. Or they have planters. They have a rotation of using the trees and picking them and harvesting them when the time has come. A lot of factors, the diameter of the tree, the seasonality, weather, all these things impact the tree and the growth rings. And that growth rings are the grain. And you want tighter grain, which allows more oxygen to enter, which can increase the wine's nuanced properties, if you will. The element that can help dictate which varietal ends up in the barrel is by, you know, certain trees. If a tree with a looser grain is used a lot of times to make Zinfandels, whereas a tree with a tighter grain is used to make high-end cabs or chardonnays. So the wood makes a big difference. It's important to pick the correct tree and the right tree to do the job right. Quercus, Quercus, Quercus alba, or white oak, is all over the America. It dominates the American landscape. And particularly you find that in the Midwestern, Midwest adjacent states like Missouri, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky. Then you have Quercus petraea, which is Irish oak, or Robur, R-O-B-U-R, which is English oak. And these are found primarily in France. Now, Missouri and Kentucky oak is really, really becoming popular and well used now. And it does make a difference. France's two main species typically give you a tighter grain, which can then influence the juices, flavors, and textures. And the differential between the trees is noticed in the final product, in the wine itself. And you can tell the difference. It was amazing. I've had opportunities to try wines that were the same grape that was aged in three different oak barrels. And I was astonished at how much difference oak can make. One of the oaks was from France, one of them was from Missouri, and one was from Minnesota. And it was astonishing, the difference. And the same winemaker, so it wasn't due to different winemakers. But they really, it's surprising how the oak can cause that much of a difference in the final taste of the wine. You don't notice it just opening up one and drinking it, but oh boy. Cooperages, that is where barrels are made, are really the backbone of trying to pick the right trees. And like I say, some areas do a replanting, or a constant planting the trees over and over again, and have a cycle, not unlike cork trees, and they try to get them to a certain age before they pick them. Harvest is really the better word. But they you have to be careful and get them at the right age and get them so you know the history, lineage of what's happening with that tree, the weather and all that other stuff. Let's see. Here we go. On average, American oak trees used to make wine barrels are well over 100 years old. And the minimum tree age for barrel usage in France is 150. But, again, they replant, and it's been an ongoing thing, especially some of these bridges that have been around for years. When they're chopped down, they can supply just enough wood for 2 to 3 barrels. With the residual wood used for other purposes like furniture or wood veneers, and this commands reverence for winemakers and their teams whenever they make the trek to see the trees up close. They said it's rather humbling to see these trees that's been around for over 100 years, and especially in France over 170 years, and know that you're going to be, using the barrels. It says some of the trees in France still have bullets and shrapnel in it from World War I. And they said that it's rather humbling to see that in the trees. So it's quite an art to pick the right trees. And the art continues all the way to the wine. Once you learn the method behind making a barrel and how it starts from picking the right tree and how one size does not fit all. They develop a new level. People develop a new level of appreciation of what the winery and the cooperage can do. And it's very true. It's amazing things that go into this that you don't realize. What is this one here? Paper bottles. We talked about paper bottles at one time. Paperboy was the one we talked about, and I was rather excited about the possibility at the time, and all of a sudden it stopped. Paperboy, I can't remember the reason either. I mean, we talked about it on the show, why paperboy was not being made anymore. Do you remember, Mike? Do you remember what the reason was? I can't.
I don't. I can.
I remember us talking about it and saying that there was a reason mm-hmm. that they're not going to make them anymore. But no. Oh well, it's not that important. You don't just spend time to look it up. But at the end of 2020. A survey of 1,741 wine drinkers across the United Kingdom found that almost two-thirds were willing to buy wine in paper frugal bottles. And that's what they call it, frugal bottles. The bottles or the packaging weighs just 83 grams, which is five times less than a glass bottle, and has a carbon footprint of up to six times lower. And it is also made without chemicals from recycled cardboard and can be taken apart entirely for recycling. I think paperboy was the same way. They could be completely recycled. Although I think paperboy had a liner on the inside of it, if I remember correctly. And I don't think these do. It took 5 years of research and development to get to this stage. Malcolm Wace, CEO of Frugal Pack, and that's what it's called, the Frugal Pack. It's the company behind the innovation of the paper bottles now, began the journey to find the right solution, and then he started with pulp paper. He said they found the energy to produce the bottle too high, the coatings or liquid barriers not easily recyclable, and the decoration of the package restricted along the with the cost to manufacture a large format package. So, Frugal Bottle has been in the launch and marketing phase for 2 years. Its benefits have convinced Cherry Park, who's the owner of Catania Gotia in Umbria. We had made a lot of progress in the vineyard to reduce our carbon footprint, but the packaging was still the weak link. She said, the Italian winery, which was involved in the prototype phase, launched its first frugal bottles in June of 2020. She says, the Northern European countries are pretty receptive to the bottles, and as are Japan and Canada. Economies with very specific targets for packaging and recycling. So, you know, sad to say they didn't mention the United States. So the only concern, which has so far proved to be bottled, is the bottle filling process. The bottles cannot tolerate liquid on the outside. So, other than that, they clean them, sterile air wash before filling them, and then they use a nitrogen blanket for the whites and rosés before putting the cap on. And they said there's no significant difference between bottling with the paper bottles or the frugal bottles or bottling with glass. It's everything's about the same. They said they treat it like bag and boxes type approach because it's basically the same. But it's being launched. It's being used out in the European Union now, and Canada and Japan have received some. We haven't seen any here in the States. If you are, there's something else I'm passing on to you. If you happen to see a frugal bottle, then let me know. Or take a picture of it and send it to the All About Wine page. Because I'd really be curious. I guess it has to be screw cap. And I wonder if it's lined. I don't know. All those questions come up. So, that's it. Frugal bottle. It's out there. It's going and it's being used. Wine ingredient labeling. There's something that the United States has talked about. It says here that the United States has been battling this for a long time. And they have. Some people say we got to have full disclosure wine labels on the wines, and people like myself say that's ridiculous. You know how many minute ingredients are in a bottle of wine. and other people say, but we need full disclosure to know what we're drinking. And other people, like myself, say, well, then if you have to know everything that's in there, and if it gives you problems or anything, don't drink it. You know, I mean, it's still going to give you problems whether you know what everything in there is or not. And so, that was me slapping my hands. There was a little bug in here. So, the project is called You Label, and it uses QR codes on wine and spirit bottles. So you scan the code, and you'll be taken to a website that lists ingredients and nutrition information for the product. Okay, something like that might work. We do have QR codes already on a lot of bottles because it takes you to the website. The U-Label effort, which started in September, features 16 wine and spirit companies now, not labels, but it could be the beginning of a wide-ranging requirement the EU is considering over the next several years. There's big name champagne houses, G.H. Mumm and Tanager, that is part of it. That's labeling takes you to a website. This is a thing that, I won't editorialize it. Currently, there are no plans to require you label on wine exported to the U.S. All right. Producers who want to include the label on wine sent to the U.S. can, he says, and the U.S. consumers who bring back a wine back from Europe will also have access to the QR code website. And there will be no geo-blocking, they say, so the United States can't get the information. So it will be available if you have the QR code. I would like to see what they list. I would like to see a full disclosure. Personally, I just like to see how they list everything, because I have actually seen a full list of everything that's on. And it's a lot. Unbelievable amount. So, U.S. wine drinkers will finally get to find out how much sulfite is in the wine they drink from France, Spain, and Germany. Yes, people, France, Spain, and Germany do use sulfite. You know, I used to get people coming into the winery all the time and then going, well, I can drink all the wine I want from France or Germany or wherever, and I don't get headaches. But whenever I drink United States wine, I get headaches. And everybody's telling me that because the United States uses so much sulfites, that's why I get the headaches. And I go, no. They have sulfites in those wines too. And they particularly have to be able to ship across the ocean to stores and stuff like that, because it preserves it. Sulfites don't hurt you. If I haven't lamented about the misconception of sulfites recently, I guess it's time. Sulfites will not hurt you. Just about everything you eat has some form of sulfites. It's used as a preservative for a bunch of stuff. Dried fruit. Okay. A lot of people like to eat dried fruit. Dried fruit contains something like 50 times more sulfites than a glass of wine does. And people say, well, I get headaches from wine. And I said, you get headaches from dried fruit? No, I never have. Well, then it's not the sulfites. It's probably because you're drinking too much wine, and it's called alcohol. You know, think about that. So, but you can see how much sulfite is in these wines. It's going to be available, and you can see how much with this QR code. And you can also see if it contains anything more than grapes and yeast. Well, these are things people add. This is what the thing is. Whenever you have full disclosure of what's in a wine, you have to look at everything in that wine. And this is why I've always objected to it, because as you're fermenting, all sorts of little minute things come up that can be detected. If you're just going to say, these are the things that were added to the wine, then you're basically setting at grapes, yeast, and maybe some sulfites, and that's it. So why do you need a label? I just, you understand where I'm at. The U label will also include calorie and other nutritional information, and also responsible drinking guidelines, a health warning, and details on sustainability. The cost to participate in this is going to be $290, and that's not per bottle. That is per winery, basically, which is going to make it affordable for just about everybody. And so even small wineries will be able to do the $290 to get into this. Yeah, and here it says ingredients may include elements like ascorbic acid, oak chips, sulfur dioxide, and yeast nutrients. They said that it doesn't look like they're going to have things that will not make the final wine will not be listed. And there are things that will not be in the final wine that are used too. So that's going to not fill up people's needs to know how much what's in the wine. But United States policy that given that winery trade groups have basically halted and stopped there for almost 15 years, and they've objected to the cost and the space it would take, and that it would confuse customers, and that there's also a sense that some large producers who had grape juice concentrator to darken or sweeten their wines would be reluctant to let consumers know there is more than grapes and yeast in their daily wine. And so this has always been an ongoing thing here in the United States. It's federal law allows for voluntary labeling, but only just a few people do. It's not really something that's mainstream out there. Some wine labels do show calorie and nutrition claims are required to use nutrition labels, which is a little bit different. Now, you've got some wineries that do agree. They think you should do this. And one of them is, Ridge Winery. They have the back of their bottles labeled with all sorts of different things. And I don't think they have a QR code. It doesn't say here. I'm looking at a site at Ridge that's talking about this stuff. But, yeah, they do. They list just about everything. Which, if people want to go into all that stuff, they can. Here, let me go through this on Ridge. These are things that could be added to the wine. It says, what are the main ingredients? The following are the main ingredients: grapes, calcium carbonate, sulfur dioxide, water, and yeast. That's your wine. But they also said TTB, Trade and Tobacco Bureau, approves wine additives. And it says that's TTB in the U.S. and the government authorities in all major wine-producing countries have approved over 60 additives for use in wine. You can see the TTB website to find out what they are. But two of the most invasive are Mega Purple, a 2,000-to-1 concentrate from lesser red grapes that adds texture, body, and color. And Velcrin, a chemical that kills everything in the wine in order to eliminate Brettomyces, or Brett. And you can add these to your wine. These are legal. I know people use the Mega Purple. And Mega Purple is just one name of the ingredients. 1,000 is one that I'm familiar with. And then it goes on and tells about invasive industrial winemaking process. and wine ingredients that are used at Ridge Vineyards, hand harvest, organically grown grapes, indigenous yeast, naturally occurring malolactic bacteria, oak from barrel aging, minimum effective SO2, calcium carbonate, water, egg whites, which is a fining agent, and tartaric acid. So, I don't know. Yay, European Union, I like to see before I start getting on the bandwagon for the United States to do it. I like to see how it goes over in the European Union. And you know, maybe a label like Ridge Winery or a QR code to link up to something like that might be the way to do it. And people, maybe people will start understanding that wine isn't full of bad stuff. It's just stuff that you need to make a good wine. And it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to kill you. And it's not sulfites that are going to hurt you. That's just too bad that the people are stuck on that sulfite rut there. Okay. What is this? Paper shortage. There's shortage on everything out there. You know that. Everybody knows that. The supply chain is just crazy. And things aren't getting to where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And things aren't being done because there's a shortage of workers. And things aren't being taken care of because we have shortages in every aspect of it. The container vessels, what is it? Last I heard there was close to 50 container ships setting out in the harbor waiting to get into San Diego and Los Angeles so they can be unloaded. The East Coast is saying, send them here. We can unload you now instead of sitting out there. But then that would require a trip through the Panama Canal, which can get very expensive, and then back up over to the East Coast. And the trucks, the trucking lines and all that, we're short on truck drivers. The country needs truck drivers. Just a tremendous amount of truck drivers are short right now. Any of you out there who know anyone who wants a job, they're over-the-road truck drivers is hiring. They'll train you. They'll do everything that they can to get you behind the wheel of a big rig. And there is all sorts of stuff. There's a shortage on papers. Just it's unbelievable. One of the things that's affecting us is the paper that they use for labels on wines. There's a shortage, and when they do get papers, it's costing more. It's costing a lot more to get labels made. And so they're scrambling and trying to do what they can. There's printing places in Napa that specializes in special labels for all the Napa wineries, and they're not able to get the paper in. And, you know, the freight, labor, inflation, all these things are causing prices to go up, which is going to ultimately, if it keeps on, affect you and me, because we're going to try to buy wine and it's going to cost more. And we're saying, wait a minute, this wine is the same as I bought last year, and now it's costing me 10-15% more. And one of those reasons is the things that you don't think about. Bottles and capsules and corks and labels. And these are all costs that's going to pop in on every bottle of wine that you get that really nothing can be done about. Those costs are there, and that's what it's going to go. That's what's going to cost you more. And the paper shortage is a big factor right now, and not being able to ship bottles around the country. There's a bottle shortage too in France. And it's just the COVID-19 is really causing havoc on the wine industry. And it's not, well, yeah, it is. It's because a lot of workers have not been able to continue on because of it, but this, all the shortages and everything. If you and notice the shelves at your local grocery store, then you will notice that a lot of things aren't there as conveniently as it was. Just the price of wood pulp has risen from $700 to $750 per metric ton. That was the cost of wood pulp, which they make labels on that. It is now up to $1,200 per metric ton. And that's just raised up in the last year alone over $500 per metric ton. And that's not including other additives or other things that you need when you do labels, the ink costs and things like that. So prices of your bottle will be affected because of that stuff. The wineries will try to eat as much as they can, but they're not going to be able to because there's such a low supply on bottles that whenever they find bottles out there, they're going to have to buy them, regardless of how much they cost, to get their wines in the bottles and to put the labels on it and all that. So it is a unbelievable mushroom effect of what's happening with the shipping and everything on the after the COVID here. Another thing, Botabox, B-O-T-A, Botabox wine. I don't know if you've seen it. It is pretty popular, actually. Delicato Family Wines has been making Botabox, and they were part of the fastest growing top 20 wine brand in the world. And because of that, they were named the wine brand of the year by MarketWatch, Botabox. It's fourth generation Delicato family wines, and they've had a winner with this Botabox. It was launched more than a decade ago as the first nationally distributed premium wine in a box, and it has maintained its growth even as the wine has passed 11 million case mark in sales in 2020. 11 million cases of 3-liter Botabox. Wow. It's the number one brand in both sales and growth in the premium 3-liter category. And it says high quality, and it's trusted by consumers, and people look for it. It's actually, my wife loves it. And every once in a while, I will have some, and it's really okay. I don't have a problem with it at all. Botabox is made by Delicato family. They have a lot of big name out there that they make, a lot of big name wines. Check them out and find out. But the Botabox has scored the label of wine brand of the year. So that's pretty cool for them. And don't turn your nose up at box wine because they're being recognized. Same thing with wine in a can. It's being recognized. Now here, another article on when will the alcohol packaging shortage end. I just talked to you about the bottling shortage and what's going on with that. They're saying there's also other people getting into other businesses using glass and all that, and wine businesses switching over to some canned wines and box wines and stuff to try to alleviate their issue with not being able to get glass. And when they do find it, it's just costing a lot. Glass is expensive anyway to ship. I used to be one of my biggest costs when I made wine is to try to get glass in. So that has been alleviated out of my worries now. But it's still out there. Still got a problem with that. So let's see. What else am I doing? Oh, I know. Next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court. Well, remember I told you that a response, a suit was filed in September the 10th. It was a suit against Sarasota, a supplier in Sarasota, Florida, wine to Missouri. And Missouri said, you can't do it. It's against our laws. And so Sarasota said, we're taking it to the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court just yesterday, I believe it was, today, said, I'm sorry, we're not going to hear that case. And it's not because, you know, only about, where did I read? Something like 5%, if that many, 5%. Oh, here we go. 2.8% of petitions are granted to hear before the Supreme Court. 2.8%. So when you get something. But this is going to be pretty important. They said that they can't ignore it. But I will tell you more about that next week, because it's already 8 minutes after, or 6 minutes after 8 Eastern time now. And I need to go eat dinner. So.
Oh, wow. And I didn't get disconnected today. That's an extra treat here. I'm still here. It's after 8 o'clock. I'm normally disconnected. And you stayed on. Last week you were disconnected. So, yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I know. It happens.
Yep.
I don't know where the... I don't want to close all these out because I want these. Inbox? Okay. And then from the inbox, I don't know where the... I know I have it here because I'm talking to you, but I don't know where the switchboard is where I've got it now. Let me punch that there. Let me go to this here. And that should, there we go. There's the switchboard. Okay. So we are done for this week. We will be back next week, which is going to be, what, the 21st? Yeah.
21st. Yep.
I got an email in to Joy Neighbors and waiting to hear back from her to join us on the 28th. So once I hear back from her, I'll let you know so you can. Let people know, because Joy is always just a joy to be on the show, and pun intended. So,
Well, hope she can come back again and share some of her good stories and see what's up with her as well.
But I should be hearing from her.
Next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time is the start. If you can join us live, that would be great. If not, always archives are good on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio, Facebook page, all that good stuff. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will go ahead and close the show out. And have a great weekend. Enjoy the cold front if you're in the south, southeast, and bundle up.
Bundle up if you're in the southeast. Down here in Florida, without your parka and long underwear. For one day, anyway.
Is it that? Is that it? Oh my gosh, to make it
One day, 2 days. But, this is early season. We've still got December, January, and February to go through. Those are our cold months. So,
it's like 2 weeks in February. So good. It's not like one time. Our winter is like one day here and there. Weeks and get in the 90s. Another day of cool wear. Yeah. Okay.
It adds up though. We get about a month of cool weather. Yeah.
Spread out, but yeah.
Spread out, but it's about a month. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you on the next Thursday. Have a great week, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinedtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All About Wine.
Yeah, I don't know this one as good as the other one. Oh, wait, we're still on. Yeah.